Father, I want to thank you for Wesley and Karen, their ministry. The young people they work with and train to do evangelism. Now bless his presentation. Open our eyes to see the beauty of this and that we could play a part in it. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, my friend.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all today. Are you happy to be here? Amen. Had a powerful Sabbath school here and a powerful service thus far, and I'm excited to share with you from the Word of God. The last time I was in this on this pulpit was 410 days ago. That was when my wife and I got married on March 15th, 2015, and we've been married happily for 410 days. Praise God. Over a year. I know many of you have been praying for us. We appreciate your prayers as well. God has blessed us and the ministry has given us to do as well in the last few months and the year. And I pray that he'll continue to bless us as well and this church as well in a powerful way. Before I enter into the message and into the Word of God, I want to make one announcement. This summer, we are going to be working with this church and other churches as well. And we are in need of young people. What kind of people? Young people who want to give their lives to God or just give 10 weeks to God in serving Him through what we call Youth Rush. And Youth Rush is a 10-week program where young people ages 15 all the way to around 30 years old get involved in sharing Christ from door to door. Amen? And so if you're a young person and you're in that age range, 15 to 30 years old, and God is moving upon your heart to be involved in ministry, please see us afterward because we want to get you involved in what we're doing by God's grace. Before we open the Word of God this morning, let's say a word of prayer together. Dear Father in heaven, we are grateful today that you've given us the opportunity to know you, to be on your side in this fight against the enemy. We pray this morning that you would bless the Word of God as it's shared. Hide me behind the cross, dear God, and as we share the Word of God and the testimony that you've given, Lord, from what has happened in the past, we pray that you would inspire us to follow the example of Christ in his ministry, to do what he did and to be who he was. We thank you, Lord, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thrive. Reaching the world through Thrive. Now, Thrive is an acronym. It stands for Teach, Heal, Revive, Integrated Volunteer Evangelism. As we move forward this morning, I want to ask you a question. Does Las Vegas need to be reached for Jesus?
Yes.
Amen? You know, we find that when I tell people that I've moved to Las Vegas, because by the way, we moved to Las Vegas, Karen and I, a few weeks ago, so we live here permanently now. And when I tell people that I live in Las Vegas, guess what their response oftentimes is? You live in Las Vegas? Why would anyone want to live in Las Vegas? Unless you want to gamble. Sin City. Why would you want to live in Sin City? And my normal response to that question is this. In the Bible it says that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen?
Amen?
So Las Vegas indeed needs to be a city of grace, not a city of sin. And we need to be ministering to this great and amazing city. You know, we have an awesome opportunity here because there's so many people that travel from to and from this place. A great tourist center, and the gospel can go from here everywhere. It was in Las Vegas that I first started knocking on doors. Has anyone ever knocked on a door before? Was it a fun experience for you? I hope it was. Was it scary? One day I was knocking on a door, and this door was not open. I knocked on the door, and no one came out to the door. So I walked around to where the garage was, and I heard music and people speaking inside the garage. So instead of knocking on the door, I knocked on the garage. And all of a sudden, these three big guys come out. And they have in their hands these bottles of beer, and they're listening to music, and they invite me, come into the garage, come into the garage, and they see what I have to offer them, and they begin to laugh. Oh, you're a Christian? Ha, ha, ha. You're a, get out of here, man. We don't want any of your Christian stuff. We have our beer here. We have our music here. You don't know what kind of people we are. We don't need this. And I began to share with them, well, yes, you do. And I handed them a DVD. And as I gave them the DVD, they're like, what is this? Oh, we don't need this. But one guy in the group said, oh, what's that? And I began to tell him about the things that are happening in our world and the signs of the times and how Christ is soon to come according to Bible prophecy. He sobered up and said, "What? Hey, what's your name? Wesley. Hey, I want to come to the driveway with me. We got to get away from these people over here because they don't care about this stuff, but I care about this stuff." We come out into the driveway. He's like, "You know what? I've been thinking about this lately, about how I need God, and I believe you came to my door, this door today, for a reason. I need this. I'm going to get this DVD because I believe, I don't know much about God. I don't know much about the Bible, but I know that I need him. He's been revealing that to me very clearly recently." I was like, praise God. I gave him the DVD. He said, "You don't understand, though. You don't understand who I am." He took me to his car, and on the license plate of his car, it said, XXX, Las Vegas. He said, I don't have to explain to you what that means, but my life has been a life full of sin. But I'm glad that you came by my door today because I know that I need Jesus. Do you think there are more people out there in Las Vegas right now who need Jesus? Do you think there are more people out there right now that say, yes, I need something more than what I currently have? I love knocking on doors here in Las Vegas because people see that they have a need for Jesus. Amen? They really do. They see that they have a need for the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in how much? All the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will what? The end will come. We find here as Christ describes the end time events, Matthew 24, the signs of the times, he says that this gospel must be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. Amen? Now, are other signs taking place before our very eyes right now? Wars, rumors of wars. Earthquakes, pestilence, diverse places, diseases, all these. Are these things happening? But we need to see the gospel preached to all the world as well. Amen? And that's us who must participate in this. So the question I have to ask you is this. We've all been trying to preach the gospel for many years. What is going to be the difference? What is going to be the game changer that allows us to reach the entire world or to reach a larger number of individuals? How are we going to minister? How are we going to preach the gospel to the world? Whose example should we follow? The example of Jesus, amen? Let's turn in our Bibles then and look at an example of Christ and how he ministered. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, looking at verse 35. This may be a familiar passage of scripture for you. But it's a very powerful one. And one that we build this ministry called Thrive Upon. Matthew chapter 9, looking at verse 35. When you get there, go ahead and just say, I'm there. The Bible says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the what? Among the people. So we see here that Christ went everywhere, and what did he do? Look what the passage says. What did he do? He was teaching, he was preaching the gospel, and he was healing. Now, as Christ ministered, doing these three things, preaching, teaching, and healing, did he have good results from that? Did he draw a crowd? Yes, he did. Why did he draw a crowd? Look at this. Hold your finger there in Matthew chapter 9 and go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Hold your finger in Matthew 9. Go a few pages over to the left in Matthew chapter 4. We're going to find out that Christ's methodology of ministry is very clearly outlaid in this book of Matthew. Matthew 4, looking at verse 23 this time. Matthew 4, verse 23. Are you there? We're all there. The Bible says, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the... So it's almost an exact quote from the other verse. He's doing the same thing again before this. But look at the next verse. Verse 24. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. So now he's famous. Now let me ask you a question. Why is he famous? Someone said something that was very important. He fulfilled a need. Look at the rest of the verse. Verse 24. And they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. So his fame went about all over the place because he was healing and meeting the physical needs of the people. Great multitudes, the Bible says in the next verse, great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond Jordan. We see as Christ ministered to the whole body, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, God is reaching many, many people. And I believe we need to do the same thing. Amen? Okay, now turn back with me to Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to continue on in that verse. We read verse 35. We see Christ's method of teaching, preaching, healing. Look what's next. There's another element to throw in here as well that Christ had that we need to have as well. Verse 36. But when he saw the what? The multitudes, all the people that were gathered together. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Compassion for them. How many of you have compassion? I hope so, right? I mean, sometimes I feel like I don't have very much compassion. Sometimes I feel like I don't feel for other people's pain and suffering like I really should feel for their pain and for their suffering. You know, this word compassion is used a few times in the scriptures, and we see this word as being, I believe what it is, it brings meat to the gospel. We can preach and teach all we want, but when we have compassion on people, when we actually reach out to them and help them, that makes a difference. Another time this word is used, compassion, is in Luke chapter 10. We don't have to go there today, but you know the story. In Luke chapter 10, we find the story of the Good Samaritan. And there we find him, this man who is taken by robbers, left for dead. And the Jew passes him, the priest passes him, but the Samaritan comes. And the Bible says the Samaritan had compassion on him. You know, it's like saying the church member passed by, and the preacher passed by, the pastor passed by, but someone from off the strip came and had compassion. We need to have compassion, amen? The world is suffering, and God is saying, yes, you are Christians, you are followers of me, but are you showing it through your compassion to others who are in need? I picked up a hitchhiker the other day. I was traveling from Souls West in Arizona here to Las Vegas, and on the side of the road, there's a man, I said to get in my car, and he got in my car, and we began to drive a few hours. And as I was talking to this hitchhiker, we had a very interesting conversation. I asked him about his religious background. He's like, oh, I've been all over the world, and I'm kind of like a cut and paste. I have a little bit of here, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But most of all, I call myself a Buddhist. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Why Buddhist? Well, you know, it's not so much that I believe what they teach, but I spent time in Thailand. And when I was in Thailand, I was amazed by how they treat people. How they treat each other and how they treat others. I was amazed by how they treat each other. And it was not so much how what they believe or their teachings, but it was more how they treat each other and how they act toward each other. Unfortunately, he could not say that about the Christian community. And my question to us today is, are we as Christians demonstrating the compassion of Christ that is laid forth in the Word of God? So we see that Christ was teaching, preaching, healing, and he had compassion on the people. Verse 36. Why? Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. As we all know that verse, this is said time and time again, there's many people out there that want to be reached, but are we going to go out there and reach them? There are many people that are out there lost, but are we going to go out there and save them with God's help? Amen? The question is ours. God puts it in our lap. And in the next chapter, in Matthew chapter 10, we see God giving, or Christ giving, his people power to do the very things that he did. Look what it says. Let's go over there to Matthew 10 real quick. Matthew 10, looking at verse 1 first. Matthew 10, verse 1. Look what the Bible says there. It says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them what? He gave them what? Power over all unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. Then skip down to verse 7. It says there, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. God is saying, I want to give you power to do that which I have done. Amen? Oh, this is available to us today. To go out and do what Christ did, to preach, teach, and heal those who are in need. As I began to read these scriptures a few years ago, and read some other things in the inspired writings, I got a vision. Not a vision, but a dream. A dream to do something, to do this ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing. That's what Christ did, and that's what we ought to do as well. Amen? A threefold ministry. I read this here. How many of you are interested in going to heaven? Amen? Now, how many of you would like sooner than later? Amen? Amen. I would like that as well. I want to see the world reach for God's kingdom. And I read this and I was very amazed by this quote here. If you can read it, if you can, hopefully you can see it. During the night of February 27, 1910, a representation was given me in which the unworked cities were presented before me as a living reality. I was plainly instructed that there should be a decided what? A decided change from past methods of working. We need to do something different. I urged that companies be organized and diligently trained to labor in our important cities. We find 1910, Ellen White had a vision and said we need to change the way that we're doing things. We need to organize companies or groups of people to labor in our important cities. The question you must ask then is, if we need a group of people that are working, what are they trained to do? What are they trained to do? You know, I want to tell you something right now. We're an army right here, amen? An army for Christ. And we have to do battle with the enemy, amen? And we need to be trained and equipped to do battle with the enemy. And we're being told here that these companies or these that they should be organized together to do something very specific. What is it? Look at this. Pay close attention to this next one right here. I have been instructed that little companies who have received a suitable training in evangelical and medical missionary lines, preaching and healing, should go forth to do the work which God, which was Christ appointed his disciples. The very same work the disciples did, we are also to do. It gets a little bit more specific here in the next quote. Look at this. Let them labor as evangelists, scattering our what? Publications, talking of the truth with those they meet, praying for the sick, and if need be, treating them not with drugs, but with nature's remedies. Ever realizing their dependence on God, as they unite in the work of teaching and healing, they shall reap a rich harvest of... The harvest is out there, and we're being told the way to reap that harvest. Companies of workers who are trained in medical or health lines and evangelical preaching lines or teaching lines as well, if we unite the work of preaching and teaching, we'll see a great harvest of souls. Amen? How many of you want to see a great harvest of souls? Oh, I can't. That's what I want to see. That's what I live for. We lived to see the gospel preached to the world. That's why Thrive came into existence. I thought, is it possible? Is it possible to gather a group of young people, a group of people and church members who want to unite in ministry to work and dedicate their lives to serving him and to doing these things, preaching, teaching, and healing? Is it possible to find a group of people who want to do this? teach, heal, revive, integrated, volunteer, evangelism. I thought, is it possible to get a group of young people who are willing to volunteer and sacrifice their time and money to be a part of a ministry that reaches out to the entire community? Is it possible? Oh, yes, we found that it was possible. We started this ministry 2 years ago, and this past year, this was the team that we had. As you see here, these young people who dedicated their lives to saying, yes, I want to serve God. Yes, I want to share the gospel. Yes, I want to sacrifice my life and do what Christ did as his disciples did. Teach, preach, and heal. And by God's grace, we've seen amazing results. I'm going to share with you a few of the things that we've done in the past and then share with you what we're planning to do here in Paradise this summer. So what does Thrive do? What does Thrive do? Well, we do these things. Teach, preach, and heal. Amen? What does it look like, though? What does it look like? I'm going to show you today. Healing. First of all, we find that healing, the healing ministry of Christ is the entering wedge of the gospel. Amen? We saw that it was healing that brought many, many people to Christ. And we want to do the same thing. So we've done things like this. A health expo. We were in the mall. Now, just so you guys get a context, Thrive was in Ogden. In where? Ogden, Utah, this past 9 months. That's where we worked for 9 months. We're ending our term at the end of this, in the end of May. And we did many different things, but I'm going to start with the health expo. We went to the mall, and we set up shop there with different banners and talking about the rest and water, exercise, nutrition, all these different things. And we go to the mall, and people pass through, and we give them free massages and things like that. And we help them to get their health checked and things like that as well. And we, at the end, we sign them up for either Bible studies or lifestyle coaching consultations. We had about 100 people come through this booth at the mall while we were there for a couple hours. And out of that 100, we found that 20 people signed up for Bible studies or lifestyle coaching. Amen? Amen. They wanted to get more information about what we were doing. So health expos. We also found cooking schools. Amen? Very powerful. Teaching people how to cook healthful food. We saw many people come to this and be blessed in a mighty and powerful way. There was one young man who came to the cooking school, and he was like, wow. He lived an alternative lifestyle, if you know what I mean. And he's like, you know what? I came to this, and I didn't really know what to expect. I haven't been to many churches before, but I came to this cooking school, and I found in your cooking school the most loving people I've ever met before. I've never seen a church that was so loving. And, you know, now that I've seen that, I want to start studying the Bible. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. He wanted to start studying the Bible, and he did. And in fact, he came to the evangelistic meeting as well and was very blessed by what he received. The cooking and the health message is an opening wedge to the things that we do. Free medical and dental clinic. Have any of you heard of Pathways before? They had a big event just this past week. Anyone was there? You guys were there? Okay, good. Good. They served over I think it was 9,000 people or so over the 3 days that they were there. Free medical, free dental, free optical care. A huge clinic for the city of L.A. But we thought, how can we bring this down to the local level? That's huge and big. How can we bring it down to our local churches and make an impact right here in our communities? In Ogden. So we had a free medical dental clinic right there in Ogden, and I have a quick video to show you regarding that, and here it goes.
students that have chosen to take time off and to do missionary work. And, you know, I didn't really know what to expect when Thrive came to our church, but they've really exceeded my expectations. They've really brought an energy to our church that really we could not duplicate. It's gotten church members really excited about being involved in evangelism. And just this event that you see around us, I mean, it's really inspired church members that, hey, we can do this also, and we want to be involved in evangelism on new levels we've never considered before.
Jesus is in everything that we're doing. Right now I see him by the work that we're doing here. We're trying to do the things that he's asked us to do, and that's to reach out and help others, which is like at their needs. And obviously there's a lot of people here in the Ogden area that needs help.
I had a lady say earlier when she walked in, she said she saw a room full of angels. Isn't that a blessing? So God is working.
So we had that event. We served over 400 people in a couple of days. We had, as you saw there, the line of people just lining up there. We got a community center there in Ogden. It was the Marshall White Center. And we asked them, can we use the center for the health clinic that we're going to do? And they're like, well, you can pay $4,000 to do it. And we were like, well, we don't have that kind of money. So we went to the mayor and asked the mayor, hey, you know, you own this facility here. We're doing this service for the community to reach out to them and give back to those who do not have enough. And he said, you know what? Go ahead and take it for free. Have the entire building for free for the 2 days. Praise God. Amen. God is good. When we serve others, we get blessings in return, and God gets the glory. Amen. Praise God for that. As you saw, all the participants wearing their shirts, they had the advertisement in the back. That was for our evangelistic meetings that we would have in the future. And we saw many people from that health clinic who got treated, dental, medical, vision, who came to the evangelistic meetings and gave their hearts to Jesus as a result. Praise God. Out of the 400 that came, we were able to sign up 190 for Bible studies, lifestyle coaching, and follow-up services. Amen? Huge numbers. And what bring them to us, what brought them to us was the healing ministry of Christ. Amen? The entering wedge is the health message. Number two is preaching. We do many different preaching events. We'll do in-home Bible studies. Many of those who came to the health clinic wanted to get Bible studies. So this is a couple of our workers with a lady in her home studying the Bible with her. Praise God. We actually, because of the community service that we were doing in the community, we got publicized in the newspaper, the local newspaper, about four times. Free advertising about what we're doing in the community, helping out. And they put the headline there, Helping Ogden Thrive. We were able to knock on 30,000 doors while we were there. Had over 450 Bible studies. Over 255 new contacts that we were able to generate throughout the time we were there. We distributed 20,000 pieces of literature and had 15-plus evangelistic and training events in the area while we were there, preaching the gospel, sharing with the community what they need. Amen? And they responded powerfully. We also have the evangelistic meetings here, as you see there. Let's see if I can go back. The evangelistic meeting was the culmination of the preaching event. I have to tell you that we called our evangelistic meeting something that we've never called it before. We had a health focus. It was called Forever Healthy, Revelation's Secret to a Better Life Now. And we had 20 nights presenting the Word of God and the Gospel in the lens of the health message. And I tell you, I've preached 7 evangelistic series myself. And this one was the most powerful that I've ever seen before. Not because of me, but because of using the methods that Christ himself gave us in the Word of God. Amen? powerful things happened through this evangelistic meeting. God blessed in a powerful way, and we saw many people give their hearts to Christ. We don't stop there with this teaching and preaching. We also want to teach. Church members often ask, Wesley, how can we get involved in this ministry? Is it all you guys going out and doing it? Of course not. No. We need the church members. Amen? The army of God right here, the church of God, to go forth and minister to those who are in need. And so we do teaching as well. We do this class called FM 101 or Fishers of Men 101, where we train church members on how to reach out, give Bible studies, engage with the community in a spiritual way. We also do things like health evangelism training. We have a Dr. Kellen here who is teaching, and we have many other presenters come in and teach about health and how we could reach out to our community using the health message. Amen? Powerful stuff. Oh, yes. Oh, Beth. That, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Pastor. Right here, the young man teaching this class here is Joseph Cadiz, your own. Amen? A product of this church who went to this church. Where I met him when I was at Souls West, actually, many years ago. He went to Souls West himself and now is leading out, actually, in this ministry of Thrive and teaching this class right here. Amen? Amen. We thank you for Joe Cadiz. He's an awesome asset to our team. He'll be here this summer, so you get to see him again. Health evangelism training we have also done. And then also, we see Joe again right there. This is him, his smiling face right there. We took out the young people. During spring break, we thought, well, they're just going to sit at home, watch TV, play video games. Why not get the young people that are on spring break to come together and camp out in the church for a week and all week long go out and knock on doors and reach people for Jesus? And this group right here were those people that went out and knocked on doors during their spring break vacation time, serving the Lord, knocking on doors, reaching out to their community. Amen? Learning how to serve Christ in a powerful way. So we're training church members, we're training on health and Bible work, and also the young people who want to be used in Christ's kingdom. As a breakdown of what we do, we have the preaching, Bible studies, evangelistic series, literature ministries, GLOW missions. Then we have teaching, Bible basics class, which is a baptismal class. We have corporate ministry, teaching people how to canvas and do medical missionary work. We have Fishers of Men, which teaches people how to do the Bible study work. And then we also have a health evangelism class as well. And then we have the lifestyle. And so we break down these ministries into preaching, teaching, and healing. This is what God's given us to do, and we want to see it grow and grow and grow as we do what Christ has inspired or has told us to do in his word, what he has done himself. So the question we ask, what were the results? Do we see any results from using the ministry that Christ used? In fact, we did. We saw many hearts given to Jesus. Amen? Many hearts given to Christ. In fact, we saw in the past 8 months, we've seen over 75 people make decisions for baptism. Amen? And already, 42 of those have been baptized and have joined the church. But not only joined the church, they've also joined the mission of the church. Amen? They've been engaged in those same classes and have now been going out to reach out to their friends and their family members and are bringing more people to God as a result. God is good. Amen? He wants to work in a powerful, miraculous, and amazing way right here, right now. And I believe this is only the beginning. Amen? This is our second year. Our first year, we only baptized like 11 people. We've tripled or quadrupled our numbers this far. And next year, our goal is to baptize over 100 people in one area by God's grace. Amen? It will happen. I believe it will happen. Do you believe it will happen? I believe God's word. And in God's word, we see that he has powerful things in mind for his church. We got to believe what he said in his word and go forth and work like it really is going to happen as he said it's going to happen. I believe the latter rain is soon to pour and is already beginning to pour. And we need to get ourselves involved in this mission. So, how many of you would like Thrive to be working here with Paradise? Amen? Amen. Well, we've shared this vision with the elders and the board, and we've decided to move forward this summer to do a three-month mini project where we're going to be having over 25 people here that are going to be knocking on doors. Now, how many of you guys remember Cole Porter's coming and staying here and going out knocking on doors, right? We've had that year after year. But now we're going to change it up a little bit more. We're going to still have that group of young people knocking on doors and selling literature and sharing Christ from door to door. But we've oftentimes found in the past there's a gap in following up those people who we knock on who are interested in Bible studies or interested in some service that the church provides. So instead of having a gap this year, we have another team, aside from the canvassers, who are going to be immediately following up the interests that the canvassers gather. Amen? And not only that same core group that's going to be reaching out and following up is going to be training the church members once a week, whoever wants to be involved, a training class on how you can also follow up immediately with these people and see them brought to Jesus. So during this 10-week period, we're also going to do health events. We're going to do a cooking school. We're going to do health expos. And we're going to conclude the 10-week time with an evangelistic series that'll be powerful. Amen? Oh, it's going to be powerful. And I think some of you may know the person that's going to be preaching, and his name is Anthony Baca. Anyone remember Anthony Baca? Oh, yes. Powerful preacher. He's now a teacher at Souls West. In his last evangelistic meeting, we saw amazing success. He did one just a few months ago in Southern California. He'll be coming here to preach as well and share the gospel. And we're going to do an entire cycle of evangelism in 3 months. Amen? And we're going to see souls won for the kingdom of God. In the past, it's only been the students. 18 students going out and canvassing. Now we're going to see tangible results of knocking on 100,000 doors during the summertime. And I believe by God's grace that we're going to have powerful results from that. Amen? As we combine the health work with the preaching of the word, we'll see powerful things take place. And we've seen it before. Amen? We've seen it before, and we're going to see it again. Amen? I'm excited, and I pray that you will also get on board with us, because Christ said back there in Matthew chapter 9, the harvest indeed is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And God's asking us today, who will join us? Who will be one of those laborers to get on board and see souls given to Christ? Amen? So I have an opportunity for you. As you leave today, we are looking for people who want to be involved. We are looking for people who want to say, I want to be a part of this mission. I want to be a part of reaching out to those in my community and see them saved for the kingdom of heaven's sake. If that's you, I want you, after we're done here, to go to the back and sign in on the sign-in sheet. We're going to have a list of people who want to join us in this mission this summer. Amen? Church members. Now that's number one. Number two. We also need young people who are willing to dedicate themselves full-time for that 10-week period to be involved in Youth Rush. If God is calling you, do not reject His call. We have a sign-up sheet outside for that as well, because we want you to be involved in serving and in sharing Christ. You may be nervous, amen? That's all right. It may be out of your comfort zone. That's okay. God will use you when you come outside of your comfort zone, amen? Amen. There's no growth inside the comfort zone, but there's growth when you come out of your comfort zone. Amen? And serve Christ. So as we close today, I want to ask you a question. This is for everyone. How many of you want Christ to come soon? Just raise your hand. How many of you want to serve Christ and be a servant in His cause? Amen? Hope the same hands go up. Because we're going to be doing this summer, and I pray that everyone would be involved sharing and equipping others to be able to know Christ more and to share His glorious gospel. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we are grateful because we know that You are coming soon. And we also know that You want us to do the work of reaching out to those who are in need of salvation. Lord, You've seen our plans. And our plans are nothing without the Holy Spirit's power. And so we ask for Your Holy Spirit to come down upon this church, upon this community, dear God, and may we see You save souls like we've never seen You save souls before. Wake us up, dear God. Shake us up, dear Father, and allow us to be what You want us to be in these last days. We thank You, Lord, and pray these things in the name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen.